Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good morning. How are we today? Blessed be God. We'll be looking at turning around hopeless situations. Maybe we should have titled it How to Handle Difficult Situations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week, and we're looking at God's word because God's word always has answers. Hallelujah. Always has answers for us to look at. Now, there are difficult situations and challenging situations because of the nature of the world that we live in. It's not something strange. It's something that the scriptures have told us about. But then that's not the final thing that scripture says about it. As we look into God's word, we have a greater understanding of what is expected of us and what is God's response in those situations. In Psalm 46 verse 1, for instance, Psalm 46 verse 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and what? Strength. A very what? Present help in trouble. See what it says? Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof run be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. Hallelujah. And that was a prophecy. And that's a prophecy. So it gives you a worst case scenario, and it says there is still a river, and the river is not outside, the river is within. So when it says God is our refuge and strength, the refuge and strength is the river that is within. And that's in prophecy. It was yet to come to pass when it was written. Now the same psalmist gave us Psalm 34 verse 19. Look at Psalm 34 verse 19. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous. What's the B part? For the Lord delivers him what? Out of them all. Say, out of them all. And it's interesting because, again, that's also a prophecy. And this was exactly the testimony that Joseph had in the Holy Scriptures. It was an affliction. God delivered him out of every single. So it is all over Scriptures. We can go through as many Scriptures as possible. We'll find that it's consistent, that a believer should not think it strange or find it strange that you are in the midst of difficulties or their challenges. No. It is normal. Normal in the sense that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where those challenges abound in different areas. But then God has not left us without comfort. He hasn't left us without answers. Okay, John chapter 16 and verse 33. Look at what Jesus said also. John chapter 16 verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in the Savior and in salvation, you might have one peace. In the world, you shall have one tribulation. But, so there's a but. Be of one good cheer. I have one overcome. Say, he has overcome. Say, when he overcame, I overcame also. So, he said, be of good cheer. So, what is your response to tribulations? What's your response to difficulties? What's your response to challenge? He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Notice the language of Jesus. I have. He said, now you be of good cheer. He said, in me, you're going to have peace. So really, it is your understanding of what it means to be in him that generates peace. That's what he's saying. So it's not how big the difficulty is, because listen carefully. If you face a challenge now, you need to rehearse for the one that will come next month. I'm not talking about believing for challenges. I'm talking about the fact that you are living in a world where on every side there are challenges. So the idea of having a pity party because there's a particular issue that comes up is not going to cut it. You are meant to gear up. You are meant to face challenges head on. Because the more you understand who you are in Christ, the more you realize that challenges are given to you for breakfast. Glory to God. Listen, until you taste victory on the other side of challenge, not occasionally but consistently, a time comes by training that you start expecting challenges as a stepping stone to greater things. God never repeats the same victory the same way twice. There's always a new way. James chapter 1. So I'm just quoting scriptures for us to see that it's not something you should be apprehensive about. It's not something that should surprise you. We live in a world that's full of challenges. James chapter 1 from verse 1. See what James says. James is an apostle. James is a servant of God. and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy. What did Jesus say to us in John 16:33? Be of good cheer. So James says, count it all joy. So now, we're looking at those scriptures and then do a self-examination. Is this your response when challenges come? Or do you find yourself crying? He says, count it all joy. He didn't say if. He said when you fall into diverse temptations. He says, count it. So to count it means you record it. To count it also means it's not joyful. But to count it means you are going to look at it, not based on how it appears, but based on the reality of who you are in Christ. And you are to look at it and you see that I call this joy also. I call this, there's a joyful outcome in this situation. That's what James is saying. He says, count it all joy. Hallelujah. I know it's very interesting. Several years ago, or a few years ago, you were in a situation that you thought you wouldn't come out, but you are here, the situation is gone. So the lifetime of challenges is short, but your own duration in Christ is forever. Don't forget it. He says you are to count it. So challenges are, you are to count it all joy. In other words, if you react based on the way you feel in light of the situation, you are not going to see the end of it. The challenge is not a problem. It's your response to the challenge that's a problem. The challenge is never the problem. The preacher in Proverbs 24 tells us, he says, if you faint in the day of adversity, that's Proverbs 24, I think it's verse 10, your strength is small. If you give up, the word faint means to give up. If you give up in the day of adversity, or I would like to say, if you give up in the day when your faith is tested, is because your strength, your staying power is small. So it is not the challenge that is the big, it is your staying power. Your staying power in the face of the challenge, that's where the issue is. It's not even your faith in that sense that is small. It is your staying power in faith that is small. If you faint, if you give up, that's what faint there in the day. So there is a day of adversity when things are contrary to what you are believing for. If you give up, if you throw in the towel, it says your faith or your strength is small. So strength there is masculine consistency in the face of trial. Go back to James chapter 1. Let's finish starting James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Next verse. Knowing this. And you see that? So there is a knowing. See, there is a knowing that I'm meant to have in the face of challenges. I know God is for me. God is always with me. God is always by me. You know, there are believers who think when challenges come that God must have forsaken them. That's why challenges came. Listen carefully. Whether you do wrong or you do good, challenges will come. Challenges will come just because you are a man and because you are in this world, they will come. Challenges are not discriminatory. They just come because you live in this world. So the minute you have a victim mentality, why is it always me? When you hear another person's story, you will thank God for your life. You've not been there before. The woman dragged her husband to a couples program where people were sharing challenges that they had. She was always complaining, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. And then when three people got up to share about what they were facing, she took the husband back home. You are very fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You are perfect. You are God's gift to me. It's because people don't talk. Pastor Bimo said something this morning. If you are going to weigh serving God based on when I feel okay, when they treat me in my office, when I get that promotion, you will never serve. You will never serve. You will never serve. Because challenge is, when you finish one, just know that sometime after, there will be a friend. If not directly with you, it will be with your people. It's not a curse. I'm just telling you. And now, we have a victory that overcomes at all times. That we're meant to exercise at all times. You see, when the word of God has given you the blueprint of victory, why don't you learn to act on it? Instead of crying, there's a blueprint in Christ Jesus. He said, be of good cheer. I have, not I will. I've overcome the world. Has he ever lied? No. Be of good cheer. You just finished miracles meeting. The very next week, something came up. You went to the doctor. They gave you a funny report. The very next week, you heard the report from home. Your countenance was, you just almost lost it. Shebi, they said, hey, what's happening? Your faith is under trial. He says, count it all joy. How I wish believers will learn to act on the word of God. When was the last time you heard bad news and you laughed? I don't know. You don't feel like laughing? And that has never produced any result. Have you noticed? What it does is it disconnects your heart from where the supply of help is. Because you have not schooled yourself. You see, that's how you stay baby in babyhood all your days. Every negative news. You don't even know the news is designed for that purpose. He said you have to count it all joy when you fall. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith, which is not proceeding from God, it works consistency. In other words, in the situation, as you stand your ground upon the word of God, there is a consistency. It's called masculine consistency in the face of trial that builds you up until you are persuaded about what the outcome will be, no matter what happens. You just know that you are going to see the end of it as you saw the end of others. That's what he said. Knowing this, that this thing, if you stay in faith, now listen carefully, is not saying tribulation and diverse temptations build your faith. No. He's saying when you start, what is God's word? You are to count it all joy. Knowing this. So what is the word of God in situation? The first step is this. It is not joyful. You count it joy. So counting joy means that you are seeing victory before it's manifest. Are you with me this morning? You are seeing victory before it's manifest. When something comes your way that is overwhelming, sometimes before you have a response, the first thing you do is that if you know you don't have the appropriate response, put that in aside, first of all. Don't focus on it. Because you already know. The Bible says, take no thought saying. So you know if you are going to say the wrong thing, don't say anything at all. So if your response is not scriptural, you are not going to see God's very present help in that situation. Hallelujah. To see God's present help in that situation, you have to learn to act on the truth of God's word. So it says, count it all joy when, knowing this, at the trial of your faith, it works. It causes you to be consistent in expressing your faith. Look at the next verse. See, that, let that consistency lead you to a place of maturity. That's perfect work. So that you may be one, mature, entire. That is, you are complete. There is no area where there is doubt. You're unflinching. One thing, nothing. Verse 5 is that popular one that we already quote. If any of you lack wisdom. At that point, when you have stood upon God's word, if you now require wisdom concerning the next thing to do, let him ask of God. You know what? It means God has been your confidence. God is your assurance. God is the reason why you know that you're going to see the end of the situation. That's what he's saying. God is the reason why you know you're going to see the end of the situation. So he says you are perfect and entire. You lack nothing. Everything you need, that is your faith now producing results. What faith is he talking about? Look at Philemon. Philemon, verse 6. He says that the communication of your faith, that's the sharing of your faith. That word actually means sharing. That means from one believer to the other. It also means expressing. So there is sharing. That is my ministry to others. It also means the expression of my faith in a given situation. It says the expression of your faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of what? Every good thing which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. So the communication of your faith. Whose faith it is? It is your faith. How do we define your faith? The same faith that is of Jesus Christ. The faith that went to hell and came back is what he's talking about here. The expression of that faith that has already accomplished victory in the resurrection is the faith you now have inside of you. So as you go about your daily life, you don't have a weak faith. Your faith is the faith that raised Jesus from the dead. Galatians 2:20. Follow me this morning. Look at what Paul says. Galatians 2:20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ what?
liveth in me, and the life.
So there is a life I now live. It is not the normal life. It is not the natural life. It is a life that came out of the dead. It is a life that came out of grace. The life I now live, I live by the faith of, not faith in. Faith in is salvation. Faith of is the expression of salvation. Are you with me this morning? So he said, I live by the faith of. So this is in that resurrection, the life I was given. The faith I have is the faith of the risen one that now finds expression through me on a daily basis. So he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, past tense, by giving himself for me. Hallelujah. So the communication of that faith. Now, that is how Paul defines the faith. Then we see how he speaks about it to Philemon. Well, let's look at how John speaks about it. John, 1 John chapter 5. We begin to tidy the knots. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Can you see that? This is the victory. That one overcomes the world. What's that victory? Even our faith. What's that faith again? The faith of the Son of God. So when we say the communication of your faith, we're speaking about the faith of the Son of God. That's the faith that you have now. It's a faith that has already accomplished the impossible. What's impossible? The raising of Jesus from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. But Paul says the communication of that faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So that means there are good things in you by reason of the resurrection of Jesus, that union you have with him. There are good things in you that you comprehend that makes that faith effectual. That's what he said. So, again, the reason why believers speak about inability in situations is because of what they are busy acknowledging per time. He says that faith, where is that faith? The faith of the Son. What is that faith? The faith that overcomes the world, which is actually the victory. So in that victory, therefore, whatever the world has to offer or throws your way, you have a faith that has already overcome it in the resurrection. Say amen. Now listen, included in the greater is the lesser. Let me say it again. Included in the greater is what? The lesser. So the greater is the resurrection. Every challenge you face is the lesser. I pray you get it this morning. Included in the resurrection is that's the greater. In that greater, there is always the lesser. The challenges you face on the living is always the lesser. Oh, let me show you what I mean. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 3. Look at Paul's experience. Look at how Paul puts it. Pay attention to the way he couches the words. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The one that supplies all supernatural means of escape and deliverance. This comfort is not feeling good, though. When you're faced with sickness, when you're faced with serious challenges, you don't need a feel-good feeling. You need supernatural deliverance. Paul is about to talk about deliverance here. That's what it's about. He says, I'm talking about the Father of mercies and the God of all, the one that is in charge of all supernatural means of deliverance. That's what he means by that. So he says, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort. Look at the next verse. He says, who comforts us in all? Say all. Say there is comfort in all tribulation. There is comfort in all difficulty. There is a supply in all challenges. Now, see what it says. He comforts us in all tribulation that we're able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So Paul is talking about trouble. With the comfort wherewith we ourselves are what? Comforted of God. Look at next verse. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Next verse. And whether we be afflicted for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enjoying of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. Next verse. And I hope of you steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be also of what? A consolation. Look at this verse. For we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Look at Paul's, look at the adjectives. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, to the point where we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death, or the answer to death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. But in what? In God. Who what? Who what? Look at the reputation. From Genesis to Malachi, there's only one way God wants you to know it. I'm the one who reverses the effect of death. What is the greatest problem of man? Spiritual death. What is the greatest accolade in God? He reverses the effect of spiritual death. Let me say it again. What is the greatest problem of man? Spiritual death. What is the greatest accolade you can give to God? The one who takes away that particular affliction, which is spiritual death. He said, we're trusting God, the one who raises. Who is the dead that God raised? Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. I said, including the greater is the lesser. So, when we are looking at the story of Abraham, for instance, and we see that Abraham was looking or trusting God for a child. But Abraham, figuratively, is now called the father of faith. And because Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. But in Abraham's life, there was a challenge. But what God offered was salvation, which is bigger than the challenge. So we see God taking care of the need of Abraham in the light of the bigger need of mankind. Abraham was included in scriptures, not because of his need for a child, but because of man's need for what? A savior. Say amen. Now, pay attention to Paul's language. He says, we should not trust in ourselves, but in the one who raises the dead. That's God's reputation. So he's telling you that consistent throughout the scriptures, every time you see a temporal deliverance in the lives of people, whether with the armies of Israel, whether in the life of David, whether in the life of the prophets, it is pointing to something greater, which is God will raise the dead. Say amen. So let me ask you, has God raised the dead? Has he raised the dead? Is that why you are here this morning? Now, so he says, so that we will not trust ourselves but in living God, who raises the dead? It says, who delivered us in that resurrection from so great a debt and does what? Deliver. In whom we trust, he will want. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He delivered. He delivers. He will yet deliver. Let me say it again. He delivered. He delivers. He will yet deliver. He will yet deliver. That's God's reputation. Notice he comforts us in all our troubles. So let me really say, when you're facing a difficult situation or challenges come, even when the comfort is not manifest, it doesn't mean the comfort was not provided. Because it comforts us in all. Do we always experience it? No. But we must not mistake our not experiencing it for it's not available. Paul said we got to the point where now, did God want Paul dead? No. Was Paul on assignment? Yes. A man on assignment is facing challenges. How much more the one who is not on any assignment? So he says, I want you to see something. We trusted in the one who raised, that's the living God, the one who raised the dead. Who delivered us from so great a dead and does deliver. In whom we trust, he will what? He will yet deliver. So he has an impeccable reputation. He always what? Delivers. That's God we're dealing with. So, the comfort of scriptures is to bring you and I to a place where we're fully persuaded that in all situations, we're more than conquerors to him that has loved us at all times. And the conqueror mentality must never change, no matter the situation. The greatest mistake you can make is to look at the challenge and see it as a sign of God forsaking you. And a sign of deliverance to that. Jesus already said it for all of us. You still want to say it again? My God, why have you forsaken you? You. When Jesus was saying it, he was saying on behalf of man in his lost state. You can't say you are the beloved of God. Hallelujah. It must never be found upon your lips. In fact, it's a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost now. For you to say, my God, because say, how? I'm not close to you. I live inside of you. So it's not about getting close. Because sometimes, you know, we still get carnal. We still want Jesus to appear. No, the word is nighty. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, I will believe. Oh, if only you appear. Are you Thomas? When he appears, what will happen? You just want to feel goosebumps. The resurrection of Jesus has nothing to do with goosebumps. He's alive in you today. Hallelujah. Believe Jesus. He told Thomas, so because you have seen me, now you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. Are you in that blessed company? You know, some years ago, Dr. Kenneth Copeland shared this testimony. He had two associates, Dr. Jerry Savell, Dr. Jason Plantis. They had encounters with Jesus. Jesus appeared to them. She began to long for her. These people are my OTGs. Jesus appeared to them. This is not partial. Which I must to see Jesus. He began to pray. Now, you'll be surprised that even as so knowledgeable as he was like wishing, hoping, after a while, praying. Why now? Why did you appear to them? You'll not be coming to tell me that you appeared to them. Why did you appear to me? And instead of Jesus appearing to him, Jesus told him the way he has been speaking to him since. You know, some of you don't realize that the fact that you hear God talking to you rather than appearing to you is a sign that you are mature. Okay. Listen. I heard this story years back and I've never forgotten. They were watching a particular patron as he was greeting the sons that came in. The first one, he shook. The second one, he parted. No, the first one, he hugged. The second one, he shook. The third one, he waved his hand. And the other patron now is saying that as far as you are concerned from your way, you think the one he embraced was the one that was loved the most. He said, no. The one he embraced was the most carnal. He's the one that would cry if they do embrace him. The one that was loved the most is the one that was willing, because that one understands the Father very well. That it's not until I touch you or I shake you that I show I love you. We understand each other. Eye contact is enough. He said, Jesus told him, if I appear to you, your ministry will have regressed 30 years. You've done what you were able to do because I've never appeared to you. You don't need it. What you need to know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith. I'm not only coming out. I've won already. Victory is my DNA. I'm wired to overcome at all times. I have the last say in all situations of life. I'm of the last Adam. Death will never have the final say. There is therefore now, hallelujah, no condemnation to me while I'm in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. What are you doing? You are exercising your faith. The victory that overcomes the world, you're exercising it. And that's why when challenges come, the last thing you want to do is talk. And the best thing you can do is talk. Let me say it again. The last thing you want to do is talk. And the best thing you need to do is what? To talk. That is, don't let the experience go before you open your mouth to speak. As you are going home, instead of being dejected, because if you carry the dejection home, listen carefully. Things happen around the office environment. And as it happened, it's like an arrow entered on the inside. You were discouraged and disappointed. And then you went home. And if you don't have a spiritual wife, they will just call, you know, you don't have to have visible men. Just begin to have the party for you, coke, fanta, everything there. How you're going to cry, how they cheated in the office. Meanwhile, you ought to have responded before you got home. In fact, you respond all the way as you enter, your wife picks it up. Your situation must not have the last say. Because you have not lost until you actually refuse to respond by faith. He said, count it all. Of course, you see, there is nobody that feels like jumping and laughing when you get a slap letter or when you receive a query. But there are people who have received queries 1 week and were promoted a month after. You've not heard it before. Yes. It's a function of response. He said you have to count it all joy. That means there's a response that's expected of you in every single situation. There is a response that's expected of you in every situation. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11 from verse 22. That principle Jesus gave. We know the background. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. On the morrow, they were passing by. The fig tree, they saw it withered from the roots. And disciples were wondering, the fig tree is withered away. Then Jesus opened his mouth and began to explain. What was Jesus' dream? It was already written in prophecy. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will speak of things that were kept secret from the foundation of the world. Psalm 73. So Jesus began to unveil fundamental principles. The principles of dominion that God already ordained for man to have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith. Listen carefully. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, So if you follow the teachings we had previously, we explained what whosoever is. So who is whosoever? Who is the whosoever? Who is the whosoever? Let me say it again. Have the faith of God. Who has the faith of God? Who has the faith of God? So when Jesus was saying, did anybody there have the faith of God? Did anybody have the faith of God? Nobody then had the faith of God. We just define what the faith of God is now. The life I live now in the flesh. I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. Isn't it? So in salvation, do you have the faith of God? Hallelujah. The communication of that faith. So who is it? Have faith of God or faith in God. He said, whosoever shall say unto this man. So the whosoever is the one who has what? The faith of God. So the mountains recognize who is speaking, and who is speaking is a function of who already has that identity in God. The mountains recognize who speaks. It's not anybody that can speak to the mountain. The person who has the right to speak to the mountain is the person who already has what? The faith of God. Now listen carefully. What is the faith of God? The faith that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. So the faith of God here is the faith after the fact, not faith to make the fact work. Let me say it again. Do you understand? It's faith after the fact. What is the fact? That God has raised him from the dead. Whosoever is born of God, how were you born? You were born out of what? Resurrection. Say amen. So the mountain before you, of course, you know, it's not talking about a literal mountain. A mountain simply means a challenge that you face. Now, because you already have the faith of God, you were born in victory. You have the DNA of victory already inside of you. Whosoever is of that resurrection shall say. Are you with me this morning? Whosoever shall say is not whosoever, it's not blank check. The whosoever there is whosoever has the faith of God. So Jesus was speaking about the future reality. The only one who had that faith was Christ at that point in time. Peter didn't have it, the others didn't have it. It is those who are born of God who have that faith. So whosoever has this faith shall say unto this mountain or shall speak to the challenge. Is one who is authorized to speak that way. In other words, Jesus is revealing God's plan right from the beginning. Listen. Genesis chapter 1. Before we read Genesis chapter 1, look at Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 3. I said some things last week. I think I need to go right again. Ephesians 3 from verse 14. Look at Paul's prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family were in heaven and earth is named. So he is the Father of our Lord Jesus, or in fathering Jesus, the whole family in heaven and earth came together. Heaven and earth came together. We call it a family in Christ Jesus. So I bow my knees unto, or I submit to what the Father accomplished in raising Jesus from the dead. I said that last week. How many of you remember last week? Let me say that. I bow my knees is not a literal speaking about bowing your knees. Paul is saying something. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. So when you hear family, how did heaven and earth come together in the resurrection of Jesus? Say amen. In that resurrection, we have what? A family. Glory to God. Glory to God. So heaven and earth simply means God inside of men. Say amen. Now, see, he said, I bow my knees unto. So unto there means I submit to what the Father did in raising Jesus from the dead. And what he did is how the church came into existence. Say amen. Is that clear? Yeah, good. So notice that was the plan right from Genesis. So go to Genesis now. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, this is Moses writing, that God said, let us make man in our what? Image after our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. Let me ask you a question. Let's even assume that Moses is talking about fish, about fowl, about cattle. Let's assume that's what he's talking about. To have dominion, how do you demonstrate dominion? Physically or with words? Physically or with words? Physically or with words? Psalm 8, verse 4. The same scripture quoted in Psalm 8. Look at Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited in Exodus? He says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you crown him with glory and with honor. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. In the past, we explained the principle that when you see prophecy in scriptures, whenever it's quoted in the epistles, it will be quoted in a clearer way. It will be said in a clearer way. Now, notice where it started. Let us make man in our what? Image after our likeness. So let me ask you a question. Was man already in God's image and likeness? No. So let us make man simply means we want to have a family, and that family will be family that God himself will initiate, which was initiated in the resurrection of Jesus. Say amen. We've done this teaching over and over at different times. But then we're going over again for that to realize when Jesus was saying, whosoever shall see unto this mountain, you need to realize. Because the first Adam would never speak to any mountain, mountain will respond. Because he's not in the image of God. The first Adam is a man of failure, is a man of sin. The first Adam had no right to speak to any mountain. No mountain recognized whatever came out of that man's mouth. No mountain recognized his authority because he had none. So when Jesus was saying, whosoever shall say, he was revealing something. This was God's plan. That man that is made in the image of God is the one that will stand before a mountain and say, and the mountain will respond. Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 2. I read from verse 6. He said, but on a certain place testified. So he's quoting from Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or what? The son of man that you want? Visit him. Already you know. Who used the epithet son of man in the Gospels? Who was addressed as son of man in the Gospels? Who was addressed as son of man? Jesus. All right. So you know he's talking about Jesus here. Yeah? So look at the next verse. He says, you made him a little lower than the angels, or he put on mortality, which is flesh. You crown him with glory and honor, and you set him what? Over the work of your hand. So he's talking about the whole process from that, from the incarnation, earthly ministry, all the way to death, burial. Look at the next verse. You put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put on his subject under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we see not yet all things what? Put under him. So if he was talking about every man, we looked at every man plus Adam, and we have not seen anything put under him. Actually, we see him under everything. We see him under everything. I mean, you didn't see him under anything. We have not seen anything. He's like, he's under almost everything. That's what we see. So if you say that you made man, you put all things subjection under him, it can't be that first Adam. Because when we saw him, he wasn't dominating things. Things were dominating him. So it can't be that man. He must be talking about another man. But look at what it says. It says, we are not yet seeing all things under him. So if we're looking to Adam, and we think the scripture is talking about Adam, how we know it can't be Adam is because we didn't see everything. But look at what we see. Look at the next verse. But we see Jesus. Hallelujah. The second Adam. We see Jesus. He was made a little one again for something. Crowned with glory and honor that he, by what? The grace of God. She what? Tasted for every man. Look at the next verse. For he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In bringing what? Many sons unto the resurrection. That's the glory. To make the captain of their salvation, the pioneer of their redemption, to make him perfect, complete, through what? Suffering. Look at the next verse. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified, they alone have one Father, for which cause is not ashamed. To call them what? Brethren of the same womb. That is the whosoever that will say. That is the whosoever that will say. Those who are in glory, in bringing many sons to glory, he has made the captain of their salvation perfect through the things he suffered. He says, therefore, the one who did the sanctification and those who are sanctified, they have the same Father. And therefore, Jesus is not ashamed to share God that would achieve. Hallelujah. So where you stand, he stands. Where he stands, you also stand. Because you came from the same womb, that glorious resurrection. The new man who has the faith of Christ, who has the faith of God. Hallelujah. So when you say to have the faith of God, it's like saying, be a particle of the resurrection. So let me ask you, are you a particle of the resurrection? Do you have the faith of God? Whosoever shall say. So let's now do it this way. Whosoever of those who are risen from the dead shall say. So the question is, how many of you are saved? After you count it joy, what are you meant to do? You say. But Dr. Scarf said something some years ago. He said he was meditating one day and Jesus told him, I said my people can have what they say, but they are saying what they have. When I was asking the Lord, I have no money. Things are tough. Things are very bad. Nothing is working for me. It's like I'm jinxed. It's like there is a generational curse. They are saying everything based on sensory evidence. Whosoever shall say unto. So a man is meant to address the challenge and speak to challenge. He says, whosoever shall say among those who have the faith of God. they will see, and will not doubt in their heart, but shall that those things which he says. So the things you will say are the things you must have been acknowledging, which is making your faith effectual. Let me say that way. Glory to God. Remember Philemon, the communication of your what? Faith will become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is where? In you. In, do you know, meditate on the Holy Scriptures inspires boldness. You know that? You know the principle that God told Joshua is still working till today. The principle will work for you any day. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein, what? He. That thou mayest what? Observe to do all that is what? Written therein. What will happen? Then you will make your way what? Prosperous. Then you shall have what? Good success. But before God gave that instruction, he had said something in verse 6. Look at verse 6. See what he said in verse 6. Be strong of a good courage. Unto these people you divide for inheritance, which I swore to their father. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and what? Very. So listen, there is no failure on the part of the one who called and sent. There is only failure on the part of the one who is about to carry out the assignment. It's like this. You stand this way. Because they say this, you are not able to say it because you are not courageous, because you have not meditated on the reality of who you are. Hallelujah. I was in the church yesterday, and I still like saying that wherever I go, that you've been a believer for 5 years, 7 years, 6, 8 years. When you still hear that there's somebody who's possessed, Sister Kemi, come and pray for the person. You are still shivering. You are still like, you didn't tell me before. If you told you before, what will you do differently? If you told you before. Now, do you have authority over demons? Yes. Do you use it? I'll let you answer that one. Sir. Do you have the authority? Yes. I was watching a particular video, and they asked a particular music artist, you have this 3-4 different cars. Have you said that? But you don't drive. You can't drive. So what do you use it for? He said, I use it for snapping pictures. I don't know if that kind of answer in my life. So you have this kind of cars and engineer, but you don't really drive. Say, so what do you now use for? He said, I use to snap pictures. A whole car. Just buy for snapping pictures. So you can have the key and never drive. Having the key doesn't mean you drive it. I hope you know that. That people have cars in their houses that they have never really driven. But they have cars. You have a car, yes. Having a car doesn't mean you can drive. So, the issue was, do you have authority? Yes. Who gave the authority? Jesus. How was the authority given in the resurrection? Far above all principalities and what? Power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but that which is come. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is what? His body. And through that body, that's where his fullness finds expression. So, but you have never cast out. And if they call you to cast out, will you be able to stand? Not because you don't have the authority, but because you have never exercised it. Hallelujah. So it's not lack of ability. Sometimes lack of what? Practice. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. A lady was having demonic issues. So they began to teach her about authority. How she ought to stand against the devil and tell the devil to stop. The first time she tried to do it, even the person teaching her started laughing. Because we started, dear devil, please don't come again. I was like, dear devil. Are you stroking a cat? Dear devil. So, that means that she doesn't even know. He said, get aggressive. Get angry. You are permitted to be angry when it comes to devil. Get angry. Say in the name of Jesus, I command the operations to stop now. And don't do it amiss. Do it a minute. Hallelujah. Do it a minute. Say in the next 7 days, provisions are coming my way. God is not afraid of your confession of faith. It is you that have refused to say things. Say in the next 7 days, provisions are coming my way. God is not afraid of your confessions of faith. Say help is coming towards me in all directions. God is not afraid. The angels of God are on duty all the time to cause us around. He said, whosoever shall say, and the one who will say is the one who already has the faith of Christ. The faith of what is done is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in the heavens. Where? In Christ Jesus. So every good thing you may ever need, the authority to possess it, to take it over, to receive it, it's already given to you. But whosoever shall say, that's where the challenge is. So there are people who are meant to say who are saying nothing, but who sometimes they are talking to God about what they are meant to speak to. And that's when you sometimes always miss it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and if you are saying to this mountain, you are telling God about the mountain. But you can see how this thing has continued. Is this how you be looking? I wish you could hear his voice. I say, is this how you also be looking? When I told you to speak to the mountain, you are telling me about the mountain. No, you have to speak to the mountain. In that passage of scripture, verse 20, 24, 23 is about speaking to the mountain, 24 is about praying. They're not the same thing. When it comes to that, you pray to God. When it comes to mountain, you speak to it. So if there is a blockage, a hindrance, you speak to it. When it comes to the desire that you want in place of that particular hindrance, you talk to God. They're not the same thing. Whosoever shall say to this hindrance, this blockage, this limitation, this difficulty. But when it comes to God, no difficulty, you speak to God about what you desire. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? So, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you want, receive them. You desire mountain? So, why are you talking about a mountain? Because you are meant to talk to God about what you desire. So, because you have removed the mountain, what you need in place of the mountain is what you discuss with God about. Can you see the difference? So, don't pray about mountains. Pray about desires. What gives you mountains? You speak to God. Jesus ought to know. He's telling you, mountains respond when you speak to them. But don't pray about them. Don't pray for them. Don't pray about them. Don't wish they will go because you are praying. No, you are to deal. Even when you are praying and there are mountains involved in the prayer, you speak to them in the prayer you are making. But when it comes to God, God is not a mountain that needs to move. God is one who provides and supplies all your need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you are persuaded that God is there with you facing the situation. Again, words of your mouth, by the help of the Spirit, will produce changes faster than you can imagine if you learn how to speak consistently. If you learn how to speak consistently. When I started church, when everybody's in the week, I'll pray after I define myself. There are two aspects. There's a prayer part, the Spirit. There's praying, the understanding, interpretation. And there's walking around the auditorium and begin to declare. This will happen. This will happen. This will happen. This will happen. This will come to pass. Because it says you will make your way prosperous. Then you shall have what? Good success. So let me ask a question. You said you have been praying, you've been fellowshipping, you said you are processing things, you said you are working on certain projects. When was the last time you paced the floor and made declarations? When was the last time? I know you pray regularly every day. That's one aspect. That's between you and God. When was the last time you paced the floor concerning a challenge or situation, and you were not praying, you were just strongly declaring God's word out of your lips, you were roaring out. Because part of the word meditation means to roar, to let something escape from a vent. So now that you are edified on the inside, it's time to now let something escape from the inside outside. So you are now walking up and down and you are declaring. And you will notice if you've been practicing this, that after a while, even if you started and there was a struggle, after a while, there will be a free flow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? After that, there will be a free flow. In other words, the words will start coming seemingly supernaturally. You will hear what you will learn as you are declaring that words have been given to you to say. This is how we're called to live. Hallelujah. This is how we're called to live. You pace the floor. You stand upon God's word. You declare God's word in that situation consistently. You know victory is yours. You are not wishing for victory. You know victory is already yours. Hallelujah. If God be for us, if God be for us, if God be for us, it matters not who is against us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also one? Freely give us our things. Glory to God. We're the church of the firstborn. Nothing puts us home. Nothing puts us down. Nothing overcomes us. Nothing worries us out. Hallelujah. We wear out every opposition. Our Father is the Father of all mercy and the God of all comfort. We receive comfort in every single situation. Glory to God. We're not going to throw into it. We're not going to quit. We won't turn our back. We won't run. We will stand our ground and see the victory to the end. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in case you are thinking of giving up this morning, I came to tell you there's no quitting in our family. We don't quit where we come from. Hallelujah. In prophecy, it's written concerning you, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Nothing shall make them afraid. Glory to God. In righteousness, you shall be what? Established. You shall be far from oppression. Glory to God. Oh, no. You don't pay attention. You just don't grow. Some years ago, I remember one of our folks was having challenging business wise. And I believe that God's word applies to every area of life. Yes?
Emphasis.
While we're here is to propagate the gospel, because eternal perspective is what the scripture is about. But there are challenges that we face on a daily basis. And sometimes when a challenge goes unaddressed, it can rewire your thinking with respect to your faith. It can. And that's when it's dangerous. Because the minute it rewires your thinking, you are no good to anyone when it comes to education. You can't help anyone. You can't help anyone. You can't encourage anyone, because you don't have any reserve to give to anyone. You are already thinking that the situation is something that God is even promoting. So you already have problems. So you came as a pastor. Every time I'm a business person, I connect the buyer and seller, and I collect a percentage. And I just noticed after a while that everything was okay. But after a while, I'll connect the buyer to a dealer or to a seller. And then shortly after, at the point of execution, either the buyer changes his mind or the seller changes his mind the first time, the second time, the third time. The fourth time, he had even been paid his commission. It had gone through. They changed their mind and recalled the money. He said he waited until four times. When you should have been alert by the second time. That something is up. We rest not against flesh and blood. We're against principalities, against powers. Against what? The rulers of darkness. Sometimes you don't know. See, a boss is persistently persecuting you, and you don't have bad character. He just sees you, just gets angry. You've not seen that kind of thing before. And you think it's natural. And you are looking. When I ask, what did you do? He said, I've been begging God. God, why are you allowing this to happen? I said, continue. You are begging God. You think God is happy about the situation? You are begging God. You say, what has happened? I've been praying, begging God. You are begging God that I should come and do something about what he could do something about. I said, the thief has been walking. The thief coming up, but you steal to kill and to destroy. Hallelujah. He's been stealing. You didn't stop the thief. You're asking God to come and catch thief. When he told you what to do with thief, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is what the scripture says. You can't ask God to come and visit them. He told you to resist the devil. You can't say, God, are you seeing? Are you watching? See what he's doing. He's carrying it away. God, catch him. He'll carry away the next one. No. You are meant to resist the devil. You resist. And the devil can come in the form of men. Hallelujah. How can you just be in your office and of all the people that are working there, your boss doesn't like you and you are keeping quiet? That's when an intelligent person wakes up early in the morning. You've not seen prayers before where five of you are there, they promoted four, you were left alone. And it's not because you are not producing. In fact, I've seen people who were producing, and the person who was not producing was promoted because of cultural bias. And you are watching. I am waiting for when God will remember me. Did he forget you before? The issue is that you don't know what to do. Whosoever shall say, hallelujah, to this mountain, before you go to the office, there are things to say. From seven clients, it became three. My challenge is, what were you watching till it became three? When one went and two went, you should have been on your toes in the morning, declaring God's word. Not until it became three. At that time, your heart is already discouraged. Are you with me this morning? Your heart is already discouraged. So I told him, I said, I'm going to help you do this thing once. And I said, after me, I led him in the confession. Say this to the devil. In the name of Jesus, from this time forward, I said, let's just give God thanks. Give God thanks. We're in his house. That young man, we're in his house. Then as I was about to say that, I looked up. I said, the next deal that is coming, it will look as though it's going to fail. But just stand your ground. When you see anything shaking, don't be moved. Just give God thanks. So the next deal that came, everything went through. They paid him the money. But when they were paying me the money, the person now said, you know, I already told the person that stood in for me that we won't do this business again, but I just changed my mind at last minute. He said, I changed your mind. It is words that have been spoken. And declaration. Are you with me? That you're changing your mind. Because something was telling the buyer and the seller not to go through. Something. That something is demons. Most of the time. And because, you know, when you are Christo Central, you don't want to speak about it. There is demonic. Don't let me be. Don't me. There is. I'm just telling you in case you are thinking that you're joking. Yeah. There are things going on. You're not aware. I went to Minister yesterday. He told me about Lily. He's a chronic seeker. Looking for the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is not lost. Pastor tried. I said the pastor tried. Even people tried. When I knocked him, I pushed person to me. So after service, I said, this one, your matter is not okay. After service, sat down. While I was sharing words with her, by the spirit I just knew, a demon was involved. Plugging her mind. Without I know I spoke with demon. I can't speak. You just labor. You will teach. Your lips are blue. It's like this. You lay hands, lay your legs. It's like this. If the Holy Ghost was not like that, we are just we're useless without the Holy Ghost. They're just useless without the Holy Ghost. Jesus knew when he said that, another comfort. He knew. He said, this is what is blocking our mind. I spoke to that spirit. He really started speaking. Very nice person, you always want to, but you're not able to. And there are cases like that. And that one is done by prayer. You have to speak to the spirit. Leave now. The work is done. You sack him from his activities. There are cases like that. You have to trust God to give you direction. Before she could speak. So I had to let this person know. There are demons in God. Let's speak to them. And then from that time forward, every deal, the success in matter, started coming true. So even when it comes to the work of your hands, God is interested. Hallelujah. God is interested in the work of your hands. God is interested in what we have. So you need to understand that speaking to a mountain sometimes has to do with that mountain of lack, that mountain of hindrance. When it comes to lack of progress, when it comes to the work of your hands, you have to learn to speak. You're talking to God and praying. God is not the one stopping you. You see, people are making progress without even praying. So God can't be the one who is directly like supervising your lack of progress. He can't be the one. But because you're a believer, you have victory. You have faith. Because it matters that if more money comes to you and all things being equal, you give more to the gospel. Yes or no? Better say yes now. Hallelujah. All things being equal. So the issue is that when you are not completely joyful because things are not working the way they ought to, there is victory already in your account in Christ Jesus. But we have to learn to walk God's word. We have to work at our salvation. You walk God's word. You apply that word to different areas of life. Let there be no area in your life where the power of God will not work. Don't excuse a particular area of your life. Say, this area, I don't need God's power. Let it be that God's power is working what? Every single area. In your office, in the work of your hands, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, let the power of God work. Produce results. Glory to God. You don't keep complaining about the wayward child. Your complaint will not do anything. It will just empower negative forces to keep encouraging that child in one direction. Why need to surround that child with God's power? Why need to speak words? There will be an atmosphere around that child when the child is going. Those who are trying to get that child away, if you just get to school one day, they will fight. I'm not talking to them, fine. Something has happened. Association broken because a good parent has spoken God's word over the child. You will not work in the wrong company. You move with the company of the wise. Those that will inspire you to do the things of God. You have spoken words over that child. That's part of whosoever shall see. Glory to God. A particular habit you have seen in your child, even when the child is not, and that's one of the beautiful things you have as a parent. If you know how to wake up at night, when the child is sleeping, you can stand over the child. Be you. Like you. You will do the will of God. You cannot escape. You are surrounded on every side. When you turn left, it's God. Right is God. Back is God. Front is God. Everywhere you turn is God. The will of God rests upon you. When you are walking, the will of God is all you can do. You cannot fail. It is impossible for you to be wayward. It's impossible. Because you are speaking. The child wakes up. Every interest in the wrong thing gone. Because a teachable parent is using God's word to shape the direction of that person. Hallelujah. That's how to train up a child the way the child should go. I hope you know how to speak that way. And if you have been applying to your own life, then you know it's easier to apply to life of others. Glory to God. Let's see what God says. I give God thanks for his faithfulness. Glory to God. Thank him for his message. Thank you for the supernatural comfort that's available for you and I in all situations. We are never stranded. We're never without help. We're strengthened with mind by God's Spirit in the inner man. We always know what to do. We're never confused. I will never throw in the towel. Help is available for me. Help is available for me at all times. I will never give in. I will never give up. I will never faint. I will not throw away my confidence. He has great recompense of reward. I know him whom I believed and persuaded is able to fulfill and do all that that I've committed to him. I know him whom I believe I've trusted. My trust will not fail. I'll not go empty-handed. I know him whom I believe. My confidence is eternally secure in him. I hold on to his word. His word has never failed. He's my anchor, my eternal refuge, my eternal comfort, the God of my consolation. Give him praise and thank him. You will never be ashamed. You will never be disappointed. Nothing he has spoken to you of will ever fail. He is faithful. He is known to be faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And his faithfulness is seen that he raised his son from the dead. And you are in that son today. He has put his faithfulness already in your account. You will not be ashamed, though. You will not be embarrassed. You will not be disgraced. You will not be disgraced. His blood speaks better things on your behalf. So you will never be ashamed. Set your heart on the course in which you should go, knowing that you have divine backing all the way. Supernatural aid is yours every single day of this week and beyond. Supernatural aid is yours. There is no shame in following him. There is no disgrace in walking in his will and his counsel. He will see you through to the very end. All the lies that the enemy has whispered in your ear, that is all they are lies. They have no substance. You reach a conclusion. Your victory will be celebrated before all. Your joy will know no bounds. You have the fullness of what you have believed for and you have desired. Yeah, he will show himself strong as he has always done. He will show himself strong as he has always done. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. And you also will know no failure. Glory to God. Father, thank you this morning. We're so grateful. We're so thankful for all that you have done. Glory and honor to you. We celebrate your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you. We look to you, we are lighting. Our faces are not ashamed. Thank you for the understanding that we have in your word. We're stirred up boldly to assert your word like never before in the days that we are here. We see results because your grace abounds. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.